Joining us now from the Toronto Star, a very smart guy and a very talented guy, our friend Bruce Arthur. Bruce, can we begin with the Hockey Hall of Fame? I maintain that the Hockey Hall of Fame gets it right more often than not. What did you think of the latest inductees?
Well, okay, so full disclosure, I gave up my Vancouver Canucks fandom a long time ago. I grew up in Vancouver,
yes,
you know,
yes,
and then moved. And at some point, I'm no longer a fan of any team. It just kind of got beaten out of me by the business.
Sure.
But the Sedin brothers are Hall of Famers, full stop. Roberto Luongo is a Hall of Famer, full stop. I think Daniel Alfredson is a little more on the edge, but I think that is, I mean, in terms of what he meant to the Ottawa market, in terms of the quality of, and length of his career, I think this is a Hall of Fame class that just in terms of those four guys is kind of a perfectly Canadian, like means a lot to Canada, Hall of Fame class. And I think that, like, it's interesting because none of these guys, like, I guess maybe Luongo, but none of these guys are like all-timers. But I think when you talk about the history of the game in this country, they're all a part of that, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're all a part of kind of how we remember it. It really is a shame that the Sedins and Luongo never won a Stanley Cup. It's a shame that Daniel Alfredson never won a Stanley Cup. And that's, you know, some ways it's kind of the story of Canadian hockey teams over the last 25 years. But I like this class because I have great respect for the Sedins and what they've done for the game, and great respect for Roberto Luongo and what he's done for the game. And then you get into kind of, there is a, like, Herb Carnegie is an overdue kind of addition to the Hall. It's still really difficult to move this game in a direction where it's more than just a game played by white people. But all in all, I think this is a really, this is the kind of Hall of Fame class that will make people feel pretty good about the game.
Bruce, I wanted to ask you about Nazem Kadri. He was a great Toronto Maple Leaf, but he did have issues, and they often involved playoff games, and he was then and is now a great player and a difference maker. Is his winning a Stanley Cup and playing as well as he did, even when he had a terrible injury, is it kind of a reminder that sometimes, due to fan base and maybe even ownership, that Canadian teams may make moves as Toronto did with Kadri, that are counterproductive, and then later on they can watch on television as the player wins a Stanley Cup in an American city?
Well, it's funny, actually, Al, because I think on the one hand, the Kadri trade didn't work out pretty clearly, right, for Toronto. They traded him for Tyson Barrie primarily, and Alex Kerfoot's still a useful part. Tyson Barrie is, of course, in Edmonton now. But I think they were probably, it was a defensible move to move on from Naz. Like, I like Nazem Kadri a great deal. He's a fascinating guy in terms of, we kind of, some players need a longer time to grow, and that's Kadri. He was incredibly immature. Immature in ways that organizations had to deal with from the time he was young. He used to say he was as talented as John Tavares, but he just didn't have quite the self-discipline, and that was true. And as over time, that held him back. And the two ejections from the playoffs, almost on the same spot on the ice against the Boston Bruins, I was in the building both times, where Naz just lost his ever-loving mind, right, and got thrown out, and that was the end of Naz's playoffs. I think that was the Toronto Maple Leafs, when they traded Nazem Kadri, were at a point where they were strong at center with Tavares and Austin Matthews, and Kadri was the third-line center. And they figured they could get something for him, and they didn't know if they could count on him anymore. Now, what happened when he got to Colorado? They could count on him. He got through a playoffs, and he gave them everything you could ask for, right? Like, playing through the injury. He's had a great couple of years in Colorado. Kadri's a really good player. He's a really useful player. Any team would love to have this guy on your squad. But there, those years in Toronto, he screwed up large. And I don't think this one was a Canadian market one. I think this one was do we know whether or not he's going to see red and get chucked out of the playoffs again thing? And he did. It didn't happen for Colorado. Whether it's maturity, whether it's luck, whether it's the fact that he didn't play the Boston Bruins this time. This Nazem Kadri was more mature. So when he says to all those, this is a great quote, right? Who all those who said I was a liability in the playoffs, you can kiss my ass. here's the thing. It was true until it wasn't, and now it isn't. And so good for Nazem Kadri.
Bruce, the latest bit of news concerning Hockey Canada gives us pause, and the Scotiabank has paused its marketing and events around the upcoming World Juniors in Edmonton. What do you imagine the next bit of news we're going to hear on that organization, and how do you imagine Hockey Canada comes out of this with anything close to its previous reputation?
Yeah, like this is different, right?
Yep.
Dave, like this feels different. The fact that the government has taken note of this and scheduled not just one hearing, but there are more hearings coming. The fact that the Prime Minister has weighed on this, and now it hits the advertisers. Like Scotiabank's been one of these kind of top tier partners. One bank in the country is always going to be associated with Hockey Canada. Right now it's Scotiabank. And this has been going on. I think the partnership started about 3 years ago. The fact that they are taking a step back means that they are very publicly saying, we feel the pressure and we don't know how this, like, I'm pretty sure that Scotiabank has asked someone at Hockey Canada, what are we going to learn from this? Like, that's what you do if you're a responsible corporate partner. You say, what's our liability here? Because we don't know, right? Like, Hockey Canada said they didn't use any public money in the payment to the victim of the multiple player sexual assault, alleged still, because it hasn't been tested in court, in London, which they settled. Now, this, there's still a lot to learn about this. Because if they didn't use any public money, then they used private money. Well, guess who gives them private money?
Yeah.
Scotiabank. Does Scotiabank, as a partner of Hockey Canada, want to be associated with this? Do any of their partners? Like, I bet there's going to be an audit of Hockey Canada down the line. We're going to find out exactly where this money came from and what it was used for, and we're going to learn more about who made the decisions. This still has a long ways to go. And as I wrote this last week, the striking part about all this is this didn't seem like it, and we talked about this last week, it didn't seem like it was the first time that the players had done something like this because they had a plan. And it certainly didn't seem like Hockey Canada that this was the first time they'd seen something like this. There's a long way to go on this road.
It felt like there was a playbook, and that is maybe the most noxious part of an awful, awful story that everybody knew to man the stations when it occurred. And good Lord, there's so much in there that I mean, I think it has to find the light of day and never happen again, as we always say. And maybe not just for Hockey Canada, but every organization around sports that involves Canada.
Yeah, like there's a lot of institutional failure happening in Canada right now. And sports is where most of it is. I mean, you can also go to the military, you can also go to police services in various ways. Like there's issues in both those places. Like here in Toronto, our chief of police apologized to the Black community and the Indigenous community for how they've been treated for decades, right? But in sports, how athletes have been treated, Hockey Canada is actually the furthest down the line because it's the most serious of all the allegations that the organization not aided and abetted, but basically paid to make go away a multiple player sexual assault at one of their galas. But what we're seeing in Canadian sports right now is that there is a potential sea change in terms of how athletes are dealt with, how organizations are overseen. That's one thing that actually might be the thing to come out of all of this. Hockey Canada, Canada Soccer, Gymnastics Canada, like go on down the list, right?
Right.
Like bobsled, everything. We've let these organizations run a little bit with insufficient oversight, clearly insufficient oversight. Like the fact that Hockey Canada had a process that they alerted the police, they alerted the various authorities and the various different tribunals and into third-party independent investigations. And the end result was paying a victim to make a sexual assault go away without ever talking to the players. You tell me that's how the system should work? How much more do we not know about how the system works? And that's what I hope we get to.
Bruce Arthur of the Toronto Star joining us here on Low Tide and Jameson on TSN 1260. We may know the fate of Deshaun Watson and his ability to play quarterback this year, maybe beyond, for the Cleveland Browns. Within the last couple of hours, Baker Mayfield was asked at a football camp in Norman, Oklahoma, if he would go back and play for Cleveland if Watson is unavailable. And it appears he has shut the door firmly on that. How do you think the NFL goes on this one? Because it's, depending on where you're going, it could be an entire year. It may be much more than that.
boy, the Cleveland Browns deserve this one, don't they?
Mm.
Like, any team in the league could have gone out and tried to get Deshaun Watson, knowing that what was public in terms of allegations already.
Right.
And any team that went and got him had to, if you didn't assume that there was more coming, right, because this sounds like a lifestyle. And so, like, if the NFL is pushing that for at least a one-year suspension, at least before an application to be reinstated, then you are looking at a really significant, and what's going to come out in the next year, right? Like, is this the end of it? Is there more? And so what the Cleveland Browns did is they had a pretty serviceable quarterback in Baker Mayfield, and then they went and chased this obviously very flawed and damaged goods in Deshaun Watson. And now Baker Mayfield's saying, see you later, I'm going to go do something else. And Deshaun Watson's out for a year. And the Cleveland Browns, by the way, were a team that, with a pretty good quarterback, would have some hope for the present. So now they have to deal with the decisions they've made. And, again, I think this looks pretty good on the Cleveland Browns. I think this is just desserts, at least in the short term.
Bruce, always good. Thanks for this.
Dave, always my pleasure, guys.